Today on this church anniversary gift day, I'm jumping out of my 1 Samuel series to speak about looking back and looking forward from the end of the book of Acts. And I want us to do something a bit different this morning. Normally, I have a number of people to come up and read our Bible verses, but today I want us to read out verses aloud together. So you need to get out if you've got a Bible, a physical Bible, if you can get your Bible out. If you use a phone for your Bible, then get your phone out. And if you could turn in your devices and in your Bibles, we're going to read Acts 29, verse 1 together. Acts 29, verse 1 together. So if you can find that, that would be really good. Ah, a few of you knew that already, discovered that already, because the book of Acts finishes at chapter 28. And we will be reading a little bit while in a while. Michael will be reading to us a few verses, selected verses from chapter 8. But the reason I've asked you to look at Acts 29 is because the story of the growth and the development of the church doesn't finish with Acts 28. It goes on. It goes on. Luke, who wrote the book of Acts, just leaves us at the end of Acts 28 with the Apostle Paul's arrival in Rome. Acts does not tell us what happened next. Many Bible scholars believe that Paul lived on in Rome for some years, that he may have been released from prison. Some believe he conducted other missionary tours to Spain and other parts. Most people believe that Paul was eventually tried by Caesar and was martyred for his faith. However, we don't know for certain because the book of Acts ends at chapter 28. But the growth and the development of the church didn't stop with the end of the book of Acts. The church went on growing and developing in amazing and miraculous ways, and God's Spirit continued to be mightily at work. Nations and empires continued to be turned upside down by the mighty power of the gospel, which is the good news of Jesus and his death on the cross as a substitutionary sacrifice for our sin and his victorious resurrection over the power of sin and death and hell that we will be celebrating on Easter Sunday, next Sunday. Jesus had promised he would build his church and the gates of hell would not prevail against it. And that promise continued to be fulfilled long after Acts 28 was finished. And we believe Jesus' promise is still being fulfilled today. Amen? Amen? It's still being fulfilled today. And this church is proof of that. It's proof that Jesus is fulfilling his promise that he will build his church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Acts 29 has come to symbolize all that God has been doing since Acts 28, right up to 2026 and beyond. And I want to encourage us all today. God's work does not stop because something comes to an end. God's work does not stop because something comes to an end. Do you know God's work doesn't even stop when our lives come to an end? Realize that. God's work will go on, praise God. God's power, God's presence, God's purposes will continue to accomplish what God wills in the future of all of our lives and in the future of Rock Christian Center and his church in the city of Sheffield. There is an Acts 29 for each of our lives. There's an Acts 29 for the life of this church. God's presence, God's power, God's purposes must continue. Dennis was referring to Voltaire, I think it was, wasn't it, who promised that, or said, prophesied that the church would be dead within a few years. But God's, that will never be prophesied, that will never be fulfilled, because God has said, Jesus has said, that he will build his church, and the gates of hell, including Voltaire and anyone else, and your secularists and your humanists and all the other people is today, it will not be fulfilled, because God's promises are always fulfilled. They come true in the name of Jesus. Jesus hasn't changed his promise to us. You know, none of us knows what the future holds. But let Acts 29 be a reminder to us today that the future is in God's hands. He has plans and purposes that we have no knowledge of at all today. Many of us never, ever expected to be here in Sheffield. Many of you never expected to be here in the United Kingdom. You're in a strange land with a strange people, and some of us are very strange, us British people. You never expected, many of you never expected to end up in church. You know, worshipping God in Burngreave of all places. You know, it's incredible, isn't it? God has plans and purposes that we have no knowledge of. His mighty work in the future will be just as great as it ever has been in the past. Don't think that somehow Jesus' batteries are running down low. You know, a bit like your car battery in the middle of winter. And then you go to start the car and you go, wah, and so you're praying that it will burst into life. Jesus' batteries are not growing low. We may be in Europe, where sadly the church has been in decline, as again Dennis was talking about last week, but Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The church is developing. The church is growing, often in persecuted countries. In Iran, where there's all the war going on, the church is growing at the most incredible rate. And we need to recognize that Jesus has his plans and purposes that will go on. We can look forward to all that God wants to do in and through our lives, in our churches, and in our ministries. So let's just read some of the verses from Acts 28, the last chapter in Acts. Paul has just arrived in the great capital city of the world, Rome, and Macca is going to come up and just read to us some of those verses. Do you want to use this one? It's a selection, a small selection of the verses from Acts 28.
Morning, church.
Hang on. Should be on. 1, 2. One moment or two. Yep.
So Acts 28. When we got to Rome, Paul was allowed to live by himself with a soldier to guard him. 3 days later, he called together the local Jewish leaders. They arranged to meet Paul on a certain day and came even in larger numbers to the place where he was staying. He witnessed to them from morning till evening, explaining about the kingdom of God and from the law of Moses and from the prophets he tried to persuade them about Jesus. For 2 whole years, Paul stayed there in his own rented house and welcomed all who came to see him. He proclaimed the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance.
Wonderful. Thank you, Macca. That's great. Yeah, give her a round of applause. So first of all, I want to look at looking back, mission accomplished. At the end of the book of Acts, Luke had written, Paul and Jesus' disciples could look back and say, mission accomplished. At the very beginning of the book of Acts, the newly risen Jesus himself had promised this: you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. I think that's Acts 1:6. At that time, when that Jesus had said that prophecy, they had not yet received the Holy Spirit. It was before the day of Pentecost. There were only around 120 disciples in total. How were they ever going to reach the world for Jesus? How were they going to turn the world upside down for Jesus? But within a couple of weeks, they're baptized in the power of the Spirit. Thousands repent of their sin and turn to Jesus. The Holy Spirit empowers them to do mighty miracles. They get persecuted for their faith in Jesus. Even more people become followers of Jesus. Some of them are martyred for their faith. Then one of the persecutors gets arrested by Jesus on the Damascus Road. He gets converted and empowered to become the apostle to the Gentiles and non-Jews. And great numbers of Jews and Gentiles become Christians. Paul and Barnabas and others get sent out by the Holy Spirit as missionaries, taking the good news of Jesus wherever they go and planting churches wherever they go. The persecution actually propelled the church outside of Jerusalem, spread the gospel of the good news of Jesus throughout the known world at that time. By Acts chapter 28, the end of the book of Acts, what seemed impossible in Acts 1 verse 8 had been accomplished. The gospel has spread throughout the known world. Paul has arrived in Rome, which was the power base of the Roman emperor. He's there right in the heart of Rome, and in verse 31 we're told he proclaimed the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ in Rome with all boldness and without hindrance. So Paul is freely and boldly preaching the kingdom of God, the reign and the rule of God, the good news of Jesus, right under the nose of the most powerful ruler in the world, Caesar himself. And he's there proclaiming, it's not Caesar who's king, it's Jesus who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And the good news of Jesus by Acts 28 has turned the whole world upside down, just as Jesus had prophesied at the beginning of the book of Acts. And we proclaim that same gospel today. The gospel has not changed. It is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. The kingdom of God has not lost its power. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Holy Spirit is the same Holy Spirit. He can still turn the world upside down for Jesus. He can still fill us with Holy Spirit boldness and liberty to proclaim the life-changing message of Jesus. Amen? Amen? We have faith to believe that. We have knowledge to believe that. We have that trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. As we look back to what the Lord has done with Rock Christian Center, it's nothing short of miraculous. Now, the problem is that those of us who have been around a long time here, now, we almost take it for granted. But what the Lord has done here is exceptional, even among other churches here in Sheffield. The Lord has been mightily at work amongst us. And sometimes, because it's been seemingly slow, we've hardly noticed it. But you know, the Lord has worked so many miracles. You know, back in 2003, as I said earlier, the church looked in a pretty hopeless state. 30 or 40 of the least and the last and the lost of Sheffield, if you'll excuse me saying that, no one very educated, no one very powerful, no one very rich, meeting together in an onion pickling factory upstairs in the offices. Now, what was that all about? What hope was that? Meeting in an industrial area, no houses around, in the deprived inner city, surrounded by a majority Muslim community, it wasn't a promising situation for a church, a new church, to be born into. The chances, if you like, of this church growing and becoming a large church that's now respected in the city seemed impossible. But the Lord had repeatedly given us Jesus' promise. Upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And that's why this church has always been called the Rock. Church on the Rock, Rock Christian Center. Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. It is the Lord who has done it. Praise God. It's been a miraculous work of the Holy Spirit. And I want to say it's marvelous in our eyes. You know, sometimes at the front here, I sort of pinch myself and think, it's amazing. You know, you look back and you think, how on earth has this happened? How on earth has this happened despite me rather than because of me? You know, some people think, oh, you know, I hate it when people sort of say you've had a very successful ministry, you know, you've seen the church grow. Well, you know, praise God, he's done it despite me sometimes rather than because of me. Peter and Pam know what I mean, you know, and you sort of think, wow, you know, he's done a marvelous thing. Praise God. And it's a wonderful thing to know that God has used us. And use not just me, but all of us in the building of his kingdom here in Burngreave, the building of his church here in Burngreave. Rock Christian Centre has grown larger than we could have ever imagined. Who would ever have thought all those years ago that we would buy what was then the prestigious new Burngreave Library and Housing Benefit Offices that the council built. I remember in my early days coming to the library thinking, wow, this is pretty impressive. They've invested some money here. You know, I didn't have the faith to believe that, you know, we'd own it. But, you know, what God can do confounds all other things, don't we? But it's not about numbers, and it's not about buildings. We've grown in maturity. We've grown in community. We've grown out in evangelism and mission. Who could ever have thought when we started the food bank in 2012 with just a few pounds and a few bits of food and all the rest of it, that it would grow and develop into all that it has. The same with the Cap Dent Centre, the same with the Lighthouse Ministry, so many other ministries, street passes that we started first of all grown and developed and impacting our city. Now healing on the streets and the bus, coffee bus stop and all the rest of it that is going on. It's incredible, really. We can look back to God's promise in the early years of this church and say, mission accomplished. God has done it. It is marvelous in our eyes. But 2026 is not the end of the Rock Christian Center story, any more than Acts 28 was the end of the story of Acts. I believe Jesus wants us to be moving forward into all that he has for us in the future, all that he commissions us to be and do in the future. Jesus has promised he will continue to build his church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it into the future. We haven't arrived, folks. We're a long way from having arrived. There's lots of things that we need to learn and grow in and develop. So looking back and looking forward, is one of the themes of the end of the book of Acts. So looking forward briefly, mission to be accomplished. So as we look back, we see mission. The mission has been accomplished. As we look forward, we see that there is a mission still to be accomplished. As we look forward to from today, God has got much more for us in the future. Amen. Do you believe that? You know, God has got much more for us because he's an extravagant God. We will never exhaust the riches of God. We will never exhaust the purposes and the plans of God. There is more of his kingdom to be established in Burngreave. Boy, is there more of his kingdom to be established. There's more, much more that God commissions us to be, to do, and to fulfill. There's a great work for Jesus and the building of his kingdom and his church here in Sheffield, here through Rock Christian Centre. There's still a vast number of people to be reached with the life-changing gospel of Jesus Christ. I went on a prayer walk this week, and I went down onto Carlisle Street, where we used to be based, where the old onion factory is. And, talk about going downhill. I'm jolly glad we're not based there now. We wouldn't be able to park within a mile of the building. You know, scrap yards and mess and rubbish. And then I went up onto some of the estate behind the vestry hall. And again, gardens full of rubbish and mattresses on the street and old washing machines and just, you know, so much brokenness. So much brokenness, so much pain in our community. You know, Jesus has something to say into that. Well, no, there's a mission still to be accomplished. So many people need to be reached with the life-changing gospel of Jesus Christ. And when you go on a prayer walk like that, it's easy to get depressed, but you remember that with God, nothing is impossible. And we need to shine even brighter as a light in a dark place. We're in a dark place, in a dark community, but we're shining. God has put us right in the heart of a high street, which is dominated by Muslim shops and everything else. And we're here with, and hopefully you saw that on the Link building, there's a cross on the front and the back of it. We're here to stand on the high street of Burngreave and say, Jesus is the light of the world. He is the one who can transform people's lives. He is the one who can transform Burngreave. And we need to keep that in mind. We need to be motivated by that. A vast number of people in Burngreave, in Pitsmoor, in the city of Sheffield are still living in the kingdom of darkness. The majority of people, the reality is the majority of people living in our city know virtually nothing about Jesus. I was out on Healing on the Streets yesterday morning, and it was hard. It was hard. There's so many people just turn the other way. Not interested, not interested, before they even know what you're saying. You know, they know nothing about Jesus. They know nothing about the church. They know nothing about the transforming message of Jesus Christ and what a difference Jesus can make to their lives. But it was an enormous privilege to pray with someone yesterday who's just come out of prison. Because he knows that he's a sinner. And he knows that he needs Jesus. And he's found Jesus in prison. And he wants to find a Christian community. You know, sometimes people have to get to the depths, don't they, before they realize that they really do need Jesus in their lives. Who here would say that they are a disciple of Jesus Christ? Put up your hands. It's a bit worrying. Maybe some of you have fallen asleep. No, so we're putting up our hands. We're a disciple of Jesus Christ. Well, one of the last commands of Jesus to you as disciples is go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. That is a direct command from Jesus to every disciple. it's not just a command for extra keen, evangelistically gifted Christians. It's not just a command for John Henderson, who's our evangelism coordinator. Jesus hasn't said to John, well, now you've got to motivate all these unmotivated people to try and go out there and share Jesus. It's a command directly to each one of us as disciples, to go and make disciples of all nations. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20, Paul tells us that we are Christ's ambassadors as though God was making his appeal through us. So if you put your hand up and said, I'm a disciple, God is making his appeal through you to the people you work with, to your family, to your neighbours, to those around you, to the people who live in your community, the people living in the city, because he calls you to be an ambassador. What a wonderful privilege. What a wonderful privilege. You know, just imagine how proud you would feel if you were an ambassador to King Charles. Wow. Well, some of you are not so sure, but... Well, maybe say Prince William. He's a little bit more popular, but you know. But just to be, you know, you'd be able to go to the palace. He would confide in you, and when being an ambassador means you're his representative. So, you know, when you go to, you know, some of you have been to citizenship things in the town hall, and you have the high sheriff of South Yorkshire or whatever, and the high sheriff says, I am an ambassador. I'm representing the king. Or if it was during the late queen, representing the queen. You, little me, we're ambassadors of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We're the ambassadors of Jesus Christ. We're his representatives. Here on earth, you are a prince, a princess of the King of Kings. Now, I quite enjoyed it yesterday out on the streets. I quite enjoy it when people say, don't want to know. Not interested. Bless you. Have a lovely day. I love doing that, you know. It's great. Have a happy Easter. Have a great Easter, you know. We are princes, we're princesses of the King of Kings. We can walk tall in community because we are ambassadors of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And God wants us to live as ambassadors and to represent Jesus. The King of Kings is calling right now, someone. And we're called to be his ambassadors in those ways. It's exciting. Be an ambassador among your friends, an ambassador for Jesus in your workplace, an ambassador for Jesus in the neighborhood. Wherever the Lord takes you, you are an ambassador for Jesus Christ. And what do we find Paul doing at the end of Acts? What's he doing? He's making disciples of all nations. He's being Jesus' ambassador to the people around him. Verse 30 of Acts 28. For 2 whole years, Paul stayed there in his own rented house. He even had to pay. Never mind. He had to stay there in his own rented house and welcomed all who came to see him. What did he do? He moaned and complained about the fact that he was under house arrest. No. He asked everyone who came to pray that he would be released from house arrest. No. He proclaimed the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ, what? With all boldness and without hindrance. So Paul is boldly, courageously proclaiming the kingdom of God and the Lord Jesus Christ in Rome at the heart of the Roman Empire, even though he's still under house arrest. He had complete freedom of speech. He wasn't bothered about his own future. He just went for it. He was being Jesus' ambassador to everyone around him. He was boldly proclaiming Jesus to anyone who came to visit him. If they were under house arrest, no, he wasn't moaning and complaining. He was challenging us through what Paul did to urgently and boldly proclaim the good news of Jesus to everyone you come into contact with. Loads of Christians are saying to me nowadays, do you think it's the last days? It looks as though it's the last days. You know, with Iran and things like that. And they're looking at what's happening in the world events. And, you know, is Jesus coming soon? Well, I don't know. But, you know, if you believe it is the last days, then it's even more urgent that you are an ambassador for Jesus, that you're sharing Jesus with those who are going to eternity without Christ. We should be even more fervent in our prayer, shouldn't we? Praying for those lost members of our family who are still living in darkness, and the people in this community who are living in darkness, the people, your work colleagues and everything else. If it's the last days, don't let's think, oh, I wonder if he's coming back. No, right at the beginning of Acts, what did the angels say to the disciples when they'd seen Jesus ascend? And they're all staring up in the sky. Oh, what happened to Jesus? Oh, he's gone. And the angels said, don't stand there staring in the sky. Get on and do something. Get busy about the kingdom. Let's not pontificate on the end times. Let's get sharing the message of Jesus. So Paul was preaching and proclaiming. He's proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ. He's not focusing on social issues. He's not focusing on politics or morality or philosophy or sociology or controversial side issues. You know, the things that we wind ourselves up with as Christians. You know, all the little bits and pieces, all the little habits and things that we like to focus on and judge whether someone's really a true Christian, because how can they be a true Christian if they use that version of the Bible, or if they believe that about the end times, or, you know, whether they believe in a literal creation, 7 days, or whether it's spread out a bit more, or, you know, all those sorts of things. Those are unimportant, folks. Those are unimportant. Paul is keeping the main thing, the rule and reign of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ as Lord. Jesus Christ and Him crucified is at the center of what he's proclaiming. Jesus dead, buried, risen, victorious. Let's proclaim it. And so on this church anniversary, we can look back with great thankfulness on all the Holy Spirit has empowered us to do and done amongst us. All the works and wonders and the extraordinary growth and development of this church and its ministries, the fulfillment of our church vision, and we can say mission accomplished. But as we look to the future, there's so much more yet to be accomplished. We carry on with Jesus' commission to go and make disciples, to be God's ambassadors, to boldly proclaim the good news of Jesus until he returns or calls us home. And we pray the Holy Spirit will enable us to empower us to boldly and without hindrance proclaim the kingdom of God and teach about the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen.